ஹாய் எவ்ரிபடி, திஸ் இஸ் ரேவதி முருகப்பன். என்னை பற்றி ஒரு ப்ரீஃப் இன்ட்ரடக்ஷன் கொடுக்கணும் அப்படின்னா, நான் தான் என்எஸ்என்ஏ மெம்பர்ஷிப் சேர். ஸோ இன்னைக்கு நடக்கிற பாட்காஸ்டோட ஹோஸ்ட் நான் தான். ஐ எம் பேசிக்லி ஃப்ரம் வாஷிங்டன் டிசி. ஐ எம் மேரிட் அண்ட் ஐ ஹாவ் அ டாட்லர் அட் ஹோம். ஸோ இன்னைக்கு டாபிக் என்ன அப்படின்னு பார்த்தோம் அப்படின்னா, எமர்ஜென்சிஸ் அண்ட் இன்சூரன்ஸ். ஸோ ஒரு எமர்ஜென்சி சிச்சுவேஷன், மேபி லைக் அ ஸ்மால் ஆக்சிடென்ட், ஆர் லைக் வீட்டில் வந்து ஒரு சின்ன கட்ஸ், இல்லை ஏதோ ஒரு பசங்க விளையாடும் போது கீழே விழுந்துட்டாங்க, அவங்களுக்கு ஒரு பெரிய அடிபட்டுருச்சு, அந்த மாதிரிலாம் இருக்கும்போது ஒரு எமர்ஜென்சி சிச்சுவேஷனில் நம்ம என்ன பண்ணணும், எப்படி வந்து அதை ஹேண்டில் பண்ண போகிறோம், எந்த மாதிரி பாசிபிலிட்டிஸ்லாம் அதுக்கு இருக்குது, லைக் ஒரு எமர்ஜென்சி ரூமை தேடி போகணுமா, இல்லை ஒரு அர்ஜென்ட் கேரை தேடி போகணுமா, அந்த மாதிரி நிறைய பேருக்கு டவுட்ஸ் இருக்கும். ஸோ அதெல்லாம் பற்றி தான் நம்ம இன்னைக்கு பேச போகிறோம். வி ஜஸ்ட் கோனா டாக் அபவுட் லைக் பேரண்ட்ஸ் விசிட்டிங் ஃப்ரம் இந்தியா. ஸோ அவங்களோட இன்சூரன்ஸ் பற்றி, அந்த இன்சூரன்ஸில் என்னென்ன கவர் ஆகுது, அவங்களுக்கு வந்து எவ்வளோக்கு வந்து அந்த இன்சூரன்ஸ் வில் பி ஹெல்ப்ஃபுல் ஓவர் இயர், வெதர் தே ஸ்டே இயர் ஃபார் 20 டேஸ் ஆர் ஃபார் 6 மந்த்ஸ். இதை பற்றி பேசுறதுக்காக வி ஹாவ் டாக்டர் வள்ளி முத்தையா. ஷீ இஸ் ஃப்ரம் சியாட்டல். ஷீ ஸ்டடிட் இன் கோயம்புத்தூர் மெடிக்கல் காலேஜ். இங்க வந்து யூஎஸ்க்கு வந்து ஷீ கேம் 20 இயர்ஸ் அகோ, அண்ட் ஷீ டிட் அவர் இன்டர்னல் மெடிசன் இன் நியூ ஜெர்சி, அண்ட் ஷீ ஹேட் ஒர்க்ட் இன் அ ப்ரைவேட் கிளினிக் செட்டிங் ஃபார் அ மேஜர் ஆர்கனைசேஷன் கால் ஸ்வீடிஷ் மெடிக்கல் சென்டர் இன் வாஷிங்டன் ஸ்டேட். அது ஷீ இஸ் ஒர்க்கிங் ஃபார் கேசர் பர்மனன்ட். இட்ஸ் அ நேஷனல் ஹெச்எம்ஓ, அண்ட் ஷீ இஸ் அன் இன்டர்னல் மெடிசன் கன்சல்டன்ட் ஹேண்ட்லிங் காம்ப்ளெக்ஸ் மெடிக்கல் இஷ்யூஸ் அண்ட் ஆல்சோ லீடிங் ஃபார்மசி டீம் ஃபார் த ஆர்கனைசேஷன். ஷீ இஸ் மேரிட் அண்ட் ஷீ ஹேஸ் 2 kids, 1 son அண்ட் 1 daughter. So Dr. Valli, thank you so much for your time today, and please welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Revathi, for the introduction. And I would like to thank our NSNA HNH Committee, Health and Humanitarian Committee, for taking this initiative to run this podcast, for really helping our members to access healthcare system better, and also for our parents who are visiting, so that they are not worried if they have any health issues to visit a foreign country. So we would like to give a little bit more information on the insurance and also on the how to deal with any emergency situations, even if for a pregnant woman or a kid or an elderly parent. So we hope we can deliver some information through this podcast.
Okay. So before starting, just wanted to know about or a brief introduction about the American health setup.
American health setup, when you come here, it's a little bit different. And so that we get confused as to how to access care and which place to go. Mm-hmm. But mostly I would say outpatient clinics are the ones where you have non-urgent conditions. You have like a cough, cold, sore throat. You have an insurance. You can call the office, make an appointment, and go and see the doctor. That will be the outpatient clinics. Mm-hmm. And here in US, we have clinics run by individual doctors. Sometimes the clinics are bigger clinics with multiple specialties in it. Mm-hmm. They always run during daytime hours from 7 to 6. They vary between different states, some between 8 to 5, but mostly during daytime hours. So evening after 6, if you have any issues and you feel like you can't wait until the next day morning, then I would recommend that we should go to urgent cares. There is something in between the outpatient clinic and the urgent care is a walk-in clinic. The convenience of the walk-in clinic is you don't need an appointment. And they are located in different places, so you need to know your area, how the walk-in clinics are. Usually they are also from 7 to 7. There are some walk-in clinics even in like Walgreens pharmacy. So those will be like for simple sore throat, cold, some bladder infection, things like that. But for urgent care, evening after 5 o'clock, you have something going on. you think your cough is getting really bad, your child is getting sick, cannot wait until the next day to see the doctor, you want immediate treatment, and there is no need for appointment. And most of the urgent cares are 24 hours. Definitely every area within 10 to 15 miles, there is urgent care, except for certain remote areas. So that will be the best place to go. But emergency room is generally used for really emergent conditions. But oftentimes you see people coming in even for cough and cold to emergency room. And we discourage that because there will be usually a long wait, like 3 hours, 4 hours, if you come for some minor ailments. So we recommend you use emergency room for really major problems. You have a chest pain, somebody passed out, or there was like a major accident or major cut. It wouldn't stop bleeding. You want to rush to the emergency room in those conditions. And if it is something like chest pain or somebody passed out, I would generally recommend calling 911 so that the patient can be immediately assessed and transported rather than just a family member driving them. So that is what I would say. American health setup is really good in a way that you can access care right away by 911 calls. And you can also access care 24/7. It is just looking a little complicated because you don't know which place to go, which is the right place to go. But usually if you hit the urgent care, or even if you hit the emergency room for something simple, they cannot refuse treatment and they will take care of you. So it's a good setup. Yes, it's sometimes confusing where to go, but I hope I cleared it a little bit.
Sada, my next question was like how or when to choose between ER and urgent care. So ninge padapathi vandu detail ah explain panninga. Like what a small question, like if a anything immediate, is it okay to call 911 or like just take the patient to like urgent care or emergency room?
So if you're in doubt, if somebody like say if somebody is not responding, like, or it's partially responding, they're just opening their eyes, they passed out, or they're really complaining of chest pain, it is better to call, or they're not able to breathe, it is better to call 911. So instead of like driving them, when it is chest pain or they passed out, say if it is a stroke or something like that, the minutes really matter. So even if you try to actually drive the patient, and then you're being triaged, you're waiting, those minutes matter. But if the 911 medics come in, they're able to take an EKG right away. They are able to take a blood pressure. They're able to check the heart rate. So they will assess the seriousness right away. And they rush to the hospital. And plus, they have a different entry into the hospital where they are taken in for immediate attention by the doctor rather than going through the main entry where you check in, you tell the nurse what the problem is, and then go in. So if they know that there is some heart attack going on or they suspect a stroke, they're immediately taking the patient through a different entry into the emergency room. And then their instantaneous care, where the consultants are called in right away, like the cardiologist or neurologist, because the time matters within 30 minutes, within 45 minutes, within an hour. These things matter that you get immediate treatment. So if you are really looking at 911 calls, it's chest pain, difficulty breathing, or somebody passed out. So those will be like really big things that you have to call 911. Or if you feel like somebody is talking and then all of a sudden is not making any sense with what they're talking, they're confused, or their language is really gibberish, or if they say their hand, they are not able to use it one side, or they feel it's completely numb and it's not coming back. Those are all signs of stroke. So those will be things to call 911. So if you do, say, have a blood pressure cuff at home, and if they're talking to you and they are sweating, they're feeling dizzy, and you're able to take a blood pressure and heart rate, that is great. But anytime you're not able to figure out, like say a diabetic patient is really dizzy, sweaty, or they are complaining that their heart is racing, they may be dropping their blood sugar. If you're able to check, they have their blood sugar checking machine, the glucometer immediately available, you're able to check, that is great. But most of the times, if you have somebody who's a diabetic, has very high blood pressure, is taking medicines for all this, and they're showing symptoms which you're not able to figure out what it is, like what I said, if they're dizzy or sweating or they're feeling very weak, you should call 911.
Okay. You would be very much clear, like when to call for 911 or when to go for an emergency room or urgent care. So the next thing, so if I wonder, we have parents visiting from India, or like not only from India or any other country. So what do you suggest, or like which insurance is the best for the travel insurance? Like which insurance company is better when we choose for Indian visitors?
So definitely there are several choices for travel insurance. Just in my experience here, I've used for many years for my parents, India Network Health Insurance. It is under website kvrao.org. But what I would suggest is the best website for most of these insurance-related questions will be Insubai. They have agents who are really well-trained to direct you which will be the right insurance, especially if your parents have already some problems, like say they've had diabetes, they've had blood pressure issues, or they've had surgery in the past, which will be under pre-existing conditions. So it will be good to talk to an agent before buying the insurance. And if you look at these insurance, different insurances, they are rated. They're rated as A+, B+. The rating for these insurance companies comes from an AM Best company, which rates these based on their financial strength. So if they are A+, B+ rated companies, then they are really good insurance companies. And you don't need to worry about if your claim will be processed or not, and if it will be, if your expenses will be covered. So that will be a kind of a way to decide which insurance you want to buy. And I personally would recommend visiting that website, Insubai. And there, for Indian visitors, we have different levels, or even from different countries, visitors, we have different levels of coverage. If you want a comprehensive coverage with really maximum policy coverage, the premium will be a little bit higher. Depending on the duration also, the cost will vary. But since I can quote for this because I've used this insurance and I've claimed it from them too, they're really good. They stick to what is said on the insurance policy. So after the deductible, they do cover the rest of the expenses. Yeah.
So if depending on the pre-existing disease pathi sonninga, like BP, diabetes, so in the avanga edukra travel insurance vandu, is it covered for the pre-existing diseases? Illa like we need to put some add-on to it. Adumatulla also like India lende visit pandravangalukku illa matha country lende visit pandravangalukku, especially our parents, so avangalukku vandu ipo like say or chinna accident o illa edho aachu appadina, even this is been covered in the accident case ellame vandu and the insurance la cover aguma illa we need to put any additional add on?
So when you buy the insurance itself, you should choose the option with pre-existing conditions. Most of the times what happens is people choose the insurance thinking that, oh, I'm taking only one diabetes pill or I'm taking only one cholesterol pill. But say if you were to go into the emergency room for chest pain, and even if they are doing just a workup for heart attack and you were not found to have a heart attack, but still the bill mounted to $1,000 because of all the tests that they did, the insurance company will deny the coverage if you didn't take it with the option of pre-existing condition, because they have it in their records. They review the records. They have it in the records that you were taking cholesterol medicine. So they consider that as a pre-existing condition. So there is a difference in premium maybe by a $20 to $30 per month between a pre-existing condition and for somebody who doesn't have a pre-existing condition. So I would make sure that you choose the option when you buy the insurance itself, then you don't have to do any add-on later. You cannot do the add-on later. So it is better when you buy it itself, you choose the option with the pre-existing condition. If somebody is completely healthy, it's only for accident coverage, they're not taking any medicines, they're really healthy, there are some very basic care plans just for certain coverages like accidents, and they can be really, really cheap in terms of like even like $30 per month. And your deductible can be as low as just $100. So you can opt for that one if somebody is really healthy and is just traveling just for accident coverage. So you cannot do an add-on later for pre-existing condition. So when you choose itself, you should be careful in choosing the option if they already have a health condition.
So itle innoru subdivision question. So like ipo namba vanda accidents in the pre-existing disease pathi pesnom, but in the oorla vandu ipo neenga pathinga they have insurance for medical, eye, vision and dental. So ipo parents visiting from India, அவங்களுக்கு வந்து ஒரு எமர்ஜென்சி டென்டல் இஷ்யூ இல்லாட்டி ஒரு விஷன்ல பிரச்சனை அப்படின்னா அதுக்கும் இந்த இன்சூரன்ஸ் கவர் ஆகுமா, இல்லை வி நீட் டு டேக் செப்பரேட் லைக் இங்கே எடுக்கிற மாதிரி இந்த ஊர்ல நம்ம வந்து விஷன் அண்ட் டென்டலுக்கு செப்பரேட்டா எடுக்கிற மாதிரி வி நீட் டு கெட் அ செப்பரேட் இன்சூரன்ஸ் ஃபார் தட்?
ஃபார் த விசிட்டர்ஸ் இன்சூரன்ஸ்ல விஷன் அண்ட் டென்டல் இஸ் கவர்ட். ஸோ vision and dental emergencies are treated like any other medical emergencies. So adanal separate you don't need to take for eye or dental. I can relate to that. As I said, since my parents have been visiting me for many years here, with the recent visit, my dad's health is really great. But he had lost his glasses in the airport. And so we decided to go to Costco and get new glasses for him. So they want to do a routine check. And I said, I'm not going to use the insurance if it is just a routine glass. I'm just going to get that. But when they did the routine check, they found that he had an impending glaucoma, acute angle closure glaucoma, and they had recommended a treatment for it. The procedure alone would cost up to max of $2,000. They were able to do it for $1,000. So I called up the insurance company to find out if this is going to be covered or not. And they said, yes, it's an eye emergency situation, and it will be covered beyond my $200 deductible. Yes, it's eye and dental emergencies, not routine checks, will be covered like any other emergencies with the visitor's insurance.
So this is about visiting parents from other countries. But இப்ப இங்க வந்து students வராங்க, like they come in F1 OPT visa. So இவங்களை பத்தி வந்து like just want to ask you questions. So when they come in like ஒரு இன்சூரன்ஸோட வராங்க அண்ட் தே ஸ்டே இன் தட் வீசா ஃபார் லைக் 3 to 4 years மேக்ஸிமம் அண்ட் அதுக்கப்புறம் தே கெட் மேரிட் அண்ட் தென் இட் மூவ்ஸ் ஆன். ஸோ அந்த ஸ்பௌஸ் வரவங்க வந்து டிபெண்டண்டாக வரவங்க வந்து சம்டைம்ஸ் வாட் ஹேப்பன்ஸ் இஸ் லைக் ஐ ஹவ் சீன் ஃபியூ சிச்சுவேஷன்ஸ் வேர் தே டோன்ட் டேக் அன் இன்சூரன்ஸ் ஃபார் த ஸ்பௌஸ். இட் ஐ மீன் இந்த க்வெஸ்சன் இட்ஸ் நாட் ஒன்லி ஃபார் லைக் வீசா ஹோல்டர்ஸ் லைக் ஸ்பெசிஃபிக்லி டு ஸ்டூடெண்ட் வீசா ஹோல்டர்ஸ் பட் இட் குட் பி ஃபார் எனி அதர் வீசா ஹோல்டர் லைக் H1B எதில் வந்தால் கூட அந்த வர டிபெண்ட் ஸ்பௌஸ் வந்து இஃப் தே டோன்ட் ஹேவ் அன் இன்சூரன்ஸ் அண்ட் இஃப் தே ஆர் ப்ரெக்னென்ட். ஸோ இந்த மாதிரி இருக்கும்போது எப்படி வந்து இன்சூரன்ஸ் வந்து எடுக்கிறது? ஏன்னா வந்து அவங்களுக்கு அந்த கம்பெனியில் கொடுக்குற இன்சூரன்ஸ் வந்து கிடைக்காது, ப்ளஸ் வெளியில் போய் ஒரு இன்சூரன்ஸ் எடுக்கணும்னாலும் இட் இஸ் வெரி டிஃபிகல்ட் டு டேக் வென் தே ஆர் ப்ரெக்னென்ட். ஸோ இந்த மாதிரி சிச்சுவேஷனில் ஹவு கேன் தே கெட் ஹெல்ப்?
யா, pregnancy is a difficult situation, especially to get insurance. US la private insurance vaangrathu kashtam. The reason being, I can only say based on data that US immigration puts out, like they see that a lot of these visas are getting sponsored. There are different types of visas, and there are many women childbearing age la, they get visa sponsored. They come here to give birth to children who can become US citizens, and obviously they don't want to encourage that, just coming to US to have a child. They want to be sure that people are having coverage, their medical coverage, with their visa status. And although the government does support if you do become pregnant and you didn't have insurance coverage, but generally private insurance companies shy away from providing coverage for pregnant women because of the complications, because of all the other reasons, like they don't want it to be misused for coming into this country to have children. So the only thing is the private insurance company can provide insurance for pregnant women if they had purchased insurance 90 days before the conception date. So illaina if an F1 or F1 OPT visa la vanda, if they are getting married and they've already passed the deadline for signing up, and say their university is not allowing them to sign up for dependent spouse, and they happen to come here and now they know that they are pregnant, the government does offer a lot of help for pregnant women. So we don't need to worry, but we don't have the choice of picking your doctor when you don't have insurance. So you are probably directed to community health centers and public health clinics, which are federally qualified healthcare centers, where they will take you without any insurance for prenatal care and throughout the pregnancy and delivery care. So the exceptions are, there are 3 states, New York, New Jersey, and Massachusetts offers public insurance for all pregnant women through their pregnancy and for 2 months after delivery. So these are the 3 states that offer that public insurance. Yes, private insurance, even if you take private insurance 90 days before the conception date, they still give you maximum coverage only up to $2,800. So if there is any major complication or anything like that, then it is out-of-pocket expenses. And they try to cover most of the complications until 26 weeks of pregnancy. So there is a lot of ifs and buts with that coverage. So I would recommend you go with the government-based health clinics or the public insurance if you're in these three states. Washington, D.C. offers an insurance called D.C. Healthcare Alliance Insurance for people who don't have any insurance or Medicaid, but they have their own process and everything else. So we need to look into that more detailed, but it's not like complete coverage like New York, New Jersey, and Massachusetts, but at least DC has an option available, public insurance option available. But say if you are pregnant, if there is some complication, you had to go to the emergency room, or even during later in the pregnancy, there was a preterm labor, you have to go into emergency room for delivery, it will be completely covered. Because we do have the act called Emergency Medical Treatment and Active Labor Act, by which nobody can refuse, no emergency room, no hospital can refuse a treatment for a pregnant woman. But it is more so for routine clinic checkup, ultrasound checkup, and all these things that you definitely need the insurance and the coverage. Otherwise, it becomes out-of-pocket expense. But for any emergency during pregnancy, it's completely covered in all of the hospitals. And also for the newborn, after the newborn, needs care. So they have a public policy for that also, that the newborn should also be covered. So there is enough coverage, but it is not something secure that you know that it is your insurance company that you have and you can choose a doctor that you want to. So your choices are limited. But definitely these community health centers and these public health clinics are well run, and they provide the state-of-the-art care like any other place. So if you are stuck in a situation like that, that you couldn't have your spouse signed up for insurance and they are pregnant, I would recommend going this route. And even if you call some private clinics or some private hospitals for prenatal care, I would recommend calling a social worker in that hospital or in that clinic and talking to them, because they will give plenty of resources in the local area as to how this whole pregnancy can be taken care of. Rather than paying out of pocket for every visit.
That was very informative, Doctor. Thank you. Is there a list of recommended doctors or clinics that would take patients without an insurance at a nominal fee?
So there is. So most of these will be run by the federal government or the state government. So if you are looking at certain private clinics, they may not be, they can refuse, like they can refuse to take you because you don't have the insurance that they accept. So it will be mostly if you're looking at a nominal fee, and there are clinics which are run by federal government and state government in each city. That will be the place to go.
What do they ask for non-US residents like parents or friends or any visitors in the emergency room? So it would be just the passport and the visitor insurance. So like if it's an emergency, we need to carry our passport and visitor insurance, or it also needs caretaker responsibility and their SSN.
So usually for non-US residents like visitors or parents, if you are going to the emergency room and you call 911, you didn't have any identity, for even like in terms of passport, it will be still be fine that they will get the information later from you. But there are only two things that they will require. One form of identity for somebody who's a non-US resident will be a passport. And then they'll have visitor's insurance information. If you have, they will collect that. But they will never collect caretaker's social security number. They cannot, like, they may take your address. That is where the visitor is residing, like with the caretaker. They may have the physical address, but they don't have any other information. They cannot ask for any other information of the caretakers, like the social security number. So mostly they do the care, and later for identification, they may take a copy of your passport. And if you have the visitor's insurance, they will like to take a copy of that. And that's about it.
So one last question, doctor. So is it recommended to carry travel medical insurance when we visit other countries, or is it okay if something we can add onto our current insurance plan?
So most of the current insurance plans, like commercial insurance plans, like Aetna, Primera, those plans, they do have travel coverage. So you may have to call and check your insurance company to see if your plan has the travel coverage. Some insurance like Medicare, which is for 65 and older, they do not offer travel coverage. And so when they don't offer travel coverage, my recommendation is to take the travel medical insurance when you travel to other countries, like especially like China for Schengen visa. They require that you have travel medical insurance before they even issue the visa. So there are certain countries we make it mandatory, but I do recommend that when you travel, it's a very small cost to purchase the travel medical insurance, and it covers a lot of things apart from the medical benefits, even if there's a late cancellation or expensive tickets needs to be rescheduled. So it's really worth it to have the travel medical insurance. So I would recommend when you're traveling outside, if your current insurance plan does not have travel coverage, to
take. That's very informative, doctor. So even Yanake wanted sometimes like what emergency situation has happened, and we were thinking whether to go for an emergency or an urgent care. So emergency kapona anga vanda urgent care kapo sonanga. So idhiliye vandu we wasted a lot of time, and like on the moment lana, like we googled like what is emergency room and what is urgent care and everything. So like we wasted a lot of time in just by researching all these things. But now I have a clear understanding when to go for an emergency room and when to go for an urgent care. So thank you so much, Dr. Wadley. It was very informative and it's very useful. So ungaloda time ku we really appreciate it. Once again, a big thank you to you.
Thanks a lot for the team for putting this together. And if there is any more questions that viewers have, I'm happy to answer by email or through the Health and Humanitarian Committee. I hope this gave you enough information or to start with to navigate the American healthcare system. I'm sure a lot of parents who are visiting are very anxious, very worried. It's going to be really difficult to get healthcare here. I actually will tell them that there's no other better place than US to get great healthcare, and no need to be worried. I want to quote a situation that happened a couple of years ago here to one of my close friends' mom, very healthy young grandmother, 45-year-old. When she came in only for just back pain. She thought, oh, I'll go for acupuncture, I'll go for massage, it's just back pain. Then one day the back pain got worse and she couldn't breathe. So they took her to the emergency room, they did an x-ray. Then they found that there was fluid around her lungs. They found that there was infection in her bone. And she had to stay in the hospital for like a week, get a lot of treatment, biopsies and scans and everything done. She's doing really well right now. And she had to follow up in the community health center clinic, the lung doctor and everything else. All of this was covered. And they offered such great care. Even I was a little worried when all these things were happening as to how it is going to be. Is it going to be burdensome for the kids who just started their lives here in US and have just a 2-month-old baby? But they took such great care. And all that they asked her mom was, what was her self-reported income in India? And she wrote that out in a letter and gave it to them. And everything was covered under charity care for her. She did not have to pay anything from the emergency medical treatment to hospital treatment to transportation to everything. So I just want to reassure audience saying that if you have situations that you are concerned, don't be worried to take them to emergency room. The best care will be offered, and coverage-wise, they cannot ask the caretakers to be responsible for the cost. So I just want to reiterate that. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for putting this together to the NSNA Health and Humanitarian Committee.
Sure, Doctor. Thank you. Thank you so much for your time, too. So, I just want to add on one more information to our listeners who are NSNA members. So, NSNA is keeping a reserve fund for NSNA members for catastrophic events in the family. So, we will be releasing the criteria to use it. So just wanted to add this. So we have a NSNA reserve fund for our members, especially for the catastrophic events in the family.